I'll be reading Revelation 22, 12 through 17. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic, arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life.
Good morning. Merry Christmas. That was weak.
Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you. Well, I sat under my palm tree yesterday, sitting around the fire this morning. I came in a little before 12 last night. It was 72 degrees. It was 25 coming in this morning. So it changed, but it feels a little more like Christmas. And on Danny Boyle's show this morning on WSM, his first song was Christmas Time's A-Coming. So I've had a good morning already. Glad that everybody's here, and hope that you'll be back in our assembly tonight. We'll have our Christmas program with our young people tonight, so hope that you'll come back at 6 o'clock for that. And remember, next week is Christmas Day, and so we'll have this assembly, our 10 o'clock assembly, next week, and that will be, we will not have our class time, we won't have our evening assembly. We'll have our assembly next week at 10 o'clock, and hope that you'll come and be a part of that. And I think we'll have a scripture reading and praise service next Sunday morning. So come and be a part of that with us next week. And then Christmas caroling, I don't get all the announcements, but Christmas caroling will be this Wednesday night. So I hope that you'll come and be a part of that. Those are always enjoyable times and enjoyable traditions here at Milton. So hope that you'll come and be a part of that. But my Christmas present to you this morning is I'm going to be brief. How's that? Yeah, woo! There you go. Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho. Couple things I want to talk about. I want to get into my lesson, but one that I want to talk about because I think it's important, and I'm not sure that we probably, and I'll use this term witness, we probably don't witness enough. We talk a lot about Scripture, but we probably don't witness enough, so I want to witness for a minute this morning. I am, first off, thankful to all of your support and prayers in Dad's sickness and then in his passing this week. This is a wonderful, wonderful group of people, and I can't express how much that I appreciate you and your love and your support as well. Thank you. I just can't express it in words, but you know how I feel. So thank you. Thank you so much. And I want to express our thanks to God for answering the prayer that we had, and that Dad would not suffer greatly, especially at the end, because pancreatic cancer is very difficult. And a couple weeks before, when we went to the hospital, and you're familiar with that, he had a lot of nausea and had hiccups that were causing him a lot of pain, and were able to get that under control. And so his last few days, in fact, the last hours, Dad, I would ask him about taking a pain pill, and he said, son, I don't hurt anywhere. He said, I have no pain at all. And at 1:45, 45 minutes before he passed, we were talking just like any of us would talk. So what a blessing that was. But at about 2:30, Dad, in the calmest and sweetest ways, passed from this life. And it was, my mother was there, and my mom's youngest sister, my aunt, was there. And it was so precious that we took about 30 minutes before we called the hospice nurse and just sat and prayed together and cried together and laughed together. And it was a special time. And I have been with many of you as loved ones passed. It was not a new experience for me. I have done that many times, but never seen anybody go as quickly or as quietly as my father was able to go. And that was an answer to prayer. And we need to be thankful to God for that, because it could have gotten much, much worse than it did. And he was able to, again, pass to the Lord in such an easy, easy way. And my dad would tell you, and I witnessed it, if there was anybody ever blessed by God, it was my father. And so my last prayer was, just as you've always been good to him, just be good to him one more time. And he certainly was in a great way. And I'm thankful. Oh, man, so thankful for that. I have to tell you, because, you know, my dad had a lot of sense of humor, which he kept to the very, 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 very end. In fact, some of the nurses were trying to figure out what he was needing when he was just being dad. You know, he was just cutting up with them. But, you know, my dad had open heart surgery in 1988, in November of 88. And was extremely disciplined about exercise and diet after that. Extremely disciplined. I can remember getting home at 11, 12 o'clock, and he'd go get on that Airdyne bike and ride that Airdyne bike for 30 minutes and would not eat a lot of things. And as he was so sick there the couple weeks before, he looked at me and he said, you know, I've worked hard to exercise and to eat. He said, if I had known this was coming, I'd have quit that crap. So, yeah, wasn't sure that was all worth it. But thank you and thanks be to God that Dad went home easy. And that was a great blessing. And went with no fear. No fear. It's a sad thing to me when people of God are so afraid when death approaches. And I pass no judgment. But it does disturb me that when it is our time for our physical lives to end for a while, that we face that with fear. And it was with great appreciation that my father had zero fear about passing. He had no apprehension about it. He had no anxiety about it. The only thing Dad really complained about, he didn't want to leave us and didn't want to leave my mom, especially, and the kids. But his big complaint was, I just can't do anything. As he got weaker, he said, I'm sorry. He said, I've never been this sorry in my life. He said, I can't do a thing. He said, I can't help y'all do a thing. And that was his greatest concern, and I may have shared this with him, but before he got so weak, he'd say, I just can't do a thing. I'm sorry. And every now and then I go, Daddy, I can't tell a bit of difference. And that was always a fun moment. But I made sure I only did that when the mood was right. Don't want to pick him. But again, thank you. And my main point was to thank you. And number two, to be thankful for the answer of prayer. Because here's what the scripture says to us. It is appointed man once to die, and then the judgment. Our death is coming. Unless the Lord returns, our death is coming. And when that comes, it's different for all of us. But that we can go peacefully and easily is the blessing. Because God has provided for us an opportunity for redemption and resurrection. And that's what is so important, that we're going to live again. But death is coming. So to be angry with God that death comes is really a wrong perspective for us, because the Lord says it's coming. And so we need to be prepared for that. But just pray that when that comes, that it comes easily. I'm not sure if I shared this with you or not, but I'll share it with you now. I probably shared it with some of you. If I have, you'll get into it another time. It won't hurt you. A double dose won't bother you. But Brother Jim Young was an elder at North Boulevard when I was growing up. And Brother Jim was of the kindest of people. I would put him in the category of Mr. Paul Dodd. For those of you who know Mr. Paul Dodd, that kind of an individual. And I can remember being a child, these folks' age, that when Brother Jim would pray, I would peek. You know, you were supposed to bow your head and close your eyes. But I would peek, because I knew Brother Jim could see God. He just prayed. He was just talking to God. There was no formality to it. There was no, it was not rote. It was just here is a man talking to his friend. And it struck me from the youngest of ages. And I really didn't remember this part until Ernest Burgess and I were talking as his mother was passing. He said, "Brother Jim always closed his prayer with 'Give us a peaceful time in which to die.'" And you know, you don't think about that when you are younger. But that is quite a blessing. And I had forgotten that. I'll never forget Brother Jim as long as my mind stays good. But I had forgotten that phrase. But it meant a lot to Ernest and then to me as we face different situations, that Brother Jim and his wisdom prayed that we might have a peaceful time. Because death is coming. I want to talk about that. Really, I want to talk about the second coming more than death, because we're going to celebrate Christmas. And I'm really in a celebratory mood. I only have one terrible frustration. I've been eating like a hog here lately. And I appreciate all y'all's concern, but January is going to be tough because I have got to tighten the screws back down, or I'm going to have to buy more clothes again, going back up the scales. It's more fun buying it going down the scales than back up the scales. But we've often made the statement, and these young people will understand that, is we're a week away from Christmas. 1 week away. 1 week from today, we will know what's under the tree. 1 week from now, we will know what's coming in the sleigh. Right? I've got some friends, I'm talking about grown people in their 40s, who cannot wait till Christmas to open the presents. They've already started opening packages. And it's not the kids that are pushing it. They just can't. They're just so excited about what they bought other folks, I'm saying, that they start letting them open it because we just can't wait for Christmas to come. And it seems like it takes forever. And wasn't it the hardest thing in the world when you're young to go to sleep on Christmas Eve? Oh, it's so difficult to go to sleep on Christmas Eve just in anticipation of the gifts that will be under the tree, or in my case, when I was young, it was on the mantle. Santa Claus always left the presents on the mantle of the fireplace. And there are pictures of me, because I would wake up in the wee hours of the morning and see what gifts were there and play for a while and then pass out and go back to sleep for a while and then get up and start it all over again. And those are great memories and great times. Why aren't we that excited about Jesus' coming? Why are we not that excited about the coming of Jesus? Because He is going to bring with Him gifts the likes of which we cannot imagine. The gift of eternal life. The gift to go into the city whose streets are gold and whose gates are pearls, and will be in the very presence of God Himself. And as was read for us, that Isaac read, we will have the right to eat from the tree of life. The privilege that was lost in the garden that you remember. And Jesus will come and bring with Him healing. And Jesus will come, and all of the former things will have passed away. Sickness and death and sorrow and conflict and war and trouble and financial problems, they'll all be gone. They'll all be gone. The presence will be amazing. Trust me. Be amazing. It's going to be huge. It's going to be huge what God has prepared for us. And yet, it seems natural for us to almost dread it. Is that fair? To almost dread it. And I think because for most of us, and for most all, with a couple of exceptions that we're aware of, death has come between. There is fear of death, as there really should be. Even though there is resurrection, death is the consequence of sin. It is Satan's hatred of us and for God for which it comes. But the anticipation of Jesus coming should be something that we look forward to as much as we look forward to Christmas as a child, maybe even as an adult, because of the reunion and the gifts. Because as we get older, if you're like me, I don't know what presents will await me, and I'm sure that I will appreciate them, but the joy of the Christmas season will not be what is under the tree. It will be those with whom I share it. Is that fair? That's what will make this a special time. And don't forget the food. Can't forget the food. But it will make that a special time. But when Jesus returns, that reunion, those that we have known that we are now separated from, we will be reunited. We will be home together. And that's really the thought. It's about home, isn't it? It's about home. And we will then be united with those who have gone before us, whom we never have had the opportunity to meet, and to make new acquaintances, and to build new ties, and to be able to meet those great folks of whom at this point we have only read about, and be able to be with them. There has to be excitement to that. And that's my only lesson this morning, is the excitement about the coming of Jesus. We're excited about the holidays. I hope you are. And I know it's a hard time for some, and I am empathetic to that. But remember those times, if you're not as excited this time, of the excitement of a holiday. Whether it was just some nuts and an orange in a stocking, or maybe it was a new car that was coming. Because I'll be really honest with you, the excitement really is almost the same no matter what, right? It is, the excitement of the holidays. But for us to have that same excitement about the coming of our Lord, about the coming of our Lord, because of the great reunion and great time that will be. And who do we want home for Christmas? All of our loved ones, right? Isn't that who we want to be with? Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's where some of the sadness of the holiday comes, is for those loved ones who maybe for some physical reason, or they've got other family which selfishly wants them on the holiday and they should share them with us. Or maybe they've gone on. Maybe it's family members who have passed on, and those memories become all the more precious and vivid at the holiday time. We need to make sure as people of God that our loved ones are ready for the great reunion at the return of Jesus. That we're ready and that our loved ones are prepared. Because we want everyone home for the holiday. We often sing the song, it's a beautiful one, that has roots in World War II, "I'll Be Home for Christmas." We need to make sure that we have lived in faithful, committed obedience and acceptance of the sacrifice of Jesus, so that He returns, that we're a part of that great homecoming. And those that we love are part of that great homecoming. That we're about teaching Jesus and living Jesus and making the priority Jesus in our lives. And that we look with confident expectation to His coming. And that its delay is like slow as Christmas. Lord Jesus, we want You to come. Hurry, come quickly. The Lord says, "I'm coming soon. We're in the last times." And He doesn't say that as a threat. It is an encouragement. "I'm coming soon, and all of these problems will be over." I hope you enjoy this week of celebration, this week where we're almost happy about everything. I got to be honest with you, even the doggone taxpayers are friendly this week. We wish each other Merry Christmas, because we anticipate the holiday and the joy. As God's people, let's anticipate the Lord's return and look forward to it coming quickly. And just as we make preparation for the holiday, let's make preparation for ourselves and for our loved ones for Jesus' return. Jesus died. Jesus sacrificed his life so that we might have life eternal and the hope of resurrection and reunion. If you need to respond to that, why don't you come while we stand and sing?